There's actually a bunch of different verses that Pesach 8, or the eighth night of Passover, has, and or the eighth day of Passover. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 16. We had a great Seder here about a week ago, right? Friday night we had our community Seder. It was really a wonderful time. And I talked all about the story of Passover. I talked all about the redemption story, that this is a highly messianic holiday. That this shows so clearly that Yeshua is in everything. That Yeshua is our Lamb. The Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. The Passover Lamb. Very clearly does Scripture say that. We get to see the significance and the prophecies being fulfilled in Yeshua. Now, we're in the midst of Pesach still, and so there's special readings every day. And you can go online and see what the special readings are. And this particular reading for today covers a lot of different topics. Very quickly, you know, and Rabbi Larry talked a bit about it. It talks about tithing. It talks about giving. Very interesting discussion on that, starting in Deuteronomy 14, 22. It goes on into the sabbatical year, or the seventh year when there was a release from debts. Very interesting topic there. And, of course, the Passover is discussed in both Deuteronomy and Numbers. Now, I want to read and start us off today with Deuteronomy 16:1. Observe the month of Abib, and I'm going to get to that in a second. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover of the Lord your God. For the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Now, I've got to stop right there before I go into really my message and talk about that. Many times, and I'm reading from the ESV version. Many of you have other different versions of your Bible. Some of you have the a Jewish Bible or whatever. So they say different things. But I just could not resist stopping and talking about this. A lot of times when a translation is brought into English, it is a little bit different. So Abib is really Aviv. Aviv, as in the month of Aviv, which is also a very interesting Hebrew word. The month of Aviv is actually the month of Nisan, okay? So when you're saying to yourself, Aviv, I thought we were in Nisan, it really is the same thing, because modern day we call it the month of Nisan, but in scriptural, in the Bible, they called it the month of Aviv, and there's reasoning why that is. Aviv actually translates as spring. It means spring, okay? And as soon as we think of Aviv, I always think of the city Tel Aviv, right? You know, the city Tel Aviv, one of the largest. It is the largest, I think, city in Israel now. Maybe Jerusalem's a little bit larger, but it is the financial capital of Israel. Tel Aviv actually translates as the spring mound or spring hill. That's what it means. But the point of it is, Aviv meaning spring. The rabbis say that, the sages say that this is a reference to the springtime. And of course, we know we're in spring. The idea of spring cleaning comes into play where you're cleaning for Passover. That's where the term spring cleaning came. So really, when they say the month of Aviv, it's really the month in the springtime when Passover occurs. And we know it now as the month of Nisan. But I just want to clarify that, because we read things sometimes and we're like, wait a minute, why does it say that? So it's the month of Aviv, or the month of Nisan, when these things are occurring. But if we go back to our verse, we see something very interesting, and we see it over and over and over in the Bible. God is always reminding us. If you look in this verse, what is God saying? He reminds us of something very specific. In Deuteronomy 16:1, he reminds you that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Throughout Scripture, God refers to himself as the God who did this. He's giving us a point of reference of who he is. When you hear about somebody, when someone tells you, oh, so-and-so, you say to yourself, well, who's that? And then you start saying something about that so-and-so. Oh, well, he did this or he did that. Oh, there's that point of reference. You know who God, our God, is? He's not just any God. He's the God that miraculously brought us out of the land of Egypt. Okay, now I understand who this guy is, who this God is. This is the thing. God is constantly reminding us throughout Scripture. Turn with me to Numbers 15:41. He's reminding us who he is, and that's embedded in what he's saying throughout Scripture. Numbers 15:41. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. He's using that reference to explain his identity to us. And sometimes people say or people think, well, oh my gosh, you guys dwell so much on Passover and the story. It's all we talk about at this season. Well, you know what? It's significant. It's one of those watershed moments in Judaism. Okay? What defines Judaism? Well, one of the pillars of Judaism is the Exodus. God pulled out this tribal people, brought them through the desert for 40 years, led them through the desert for 40 years, which in and of itself is a difficult thing, brought them to and gave them the Ten Commandments, thus creating the nation of Israel. All of this is a watershed moment or a watershed event, and God is identifying himself as the one who does it. He is the one who brought us out. He reminds us over and over. And you know what else he reminds us of? Not only is he the God that brought us out of Egypt into freedom, but he is our Redeemer. Okay, turn with me to Deuteronomy 7:8. So again, God is referring to himself by events that are going on. Deuteronomy 7:8. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, all of these scriptures that I've been talking about, talk about the God who brought us out, talk about the God who redeems us. But he is constantly reminding us of these things throughout the Bible. That's the point that I want to make. Throughout scripture, he's reminding us, whether it's about the Passover, whether it's about God in general, there's always the idea of remembering, of never forgetting. What's the motto? What's the slogan? What's the thing we talk about when we talk about the Holocaust? Never forget, right? Because if you forget, you're doomed to repeat history. And what's so disturbing in the world today is so many people either have forgotten or not been taught that the Holocaust happened, and you have all these crazy Holocaust deniers out there. It's crazy. You know, young people growing up now, they're so far removed from it. It always gets me when I look at like pictures. You know, sometimes they'll post pictures on the internet of like IDF soldiers in Israel posing with their grandparents who were Holocaust survivors. And they've got the numbers tattooed on their arms. I mean, it just sends chills down my spine. This event happened. Never forget. You know, God is saying to us is, don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget that I redeemed you with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Don't forget that I redeemed you and I love you and I am your God. We're left with this idea of always, always, always to remember. And that's what I want to talk about today, to remember. Most of you know that, as I said before, my family is leaving Karen Orr. And so what I'm doing is I wanted to say a few words about that during this last message. And I wanted to talk about what I want to leave you with, what I want to share with you as I go. And it really is to remember all of what God has done and what he's going to do. But I wanted to talk about that. So today's our last Shabbat. We started just to go a little bit down memory lane for you, right? And how many of you were here when Karen Orr first started? Was anybody here officially? I see our very first congregant in the back row there. I remember going out to lunch with him 5 years ago and saying, hey, we're going to start a synagogue together. Congregant number one, I signed him right up. All right, well, at least we'll have one person to come to the first service. No, so many of you were at the first service. Many of you probably tuning in came for the first service. We've had a lot of people. You know, we live in an area, a very military area, where people are moving in and out a lot. We've had a lot of families come in and out over the last 5 years. Great memories. Always to remember those things. So it's been an eventful 5 years. I was telling a couple of people this morning, so much has happened in 5 years that it feels like 20 years, right? Just because everything has been crammed in. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, like, wow, so much has happened in 5 years. And it's the last time I'm going to address you as the rabbi because I'm stepping down after the Shabbat, and Rabbi Larry has been raised up, and we're going to bring them up a little bit later. But, you know, I know they're going to do a great job leading you into the next phase of Karen Orr. But as I reflect back over the last 5 years, I look at what Karen Orr has done, or what the Lord has done through Karen Orr, I should say, and with Karen Orr, And then I think about the future, and these are a few things that I want to share with you as I move away and you guys continue here. This is the thing that I can leave with you. Just as Passover is about remembering, we're going through the season now, it's fresh in our memory. Just as Judaism is all about remembering, we need to remember a couple of things. But the problem is, in society today, we don't want to remember anything. We don't want to look to the past because everything is so transfixed with the future today. Everything is moving so rapidly with, and really is social media. I used to say, before social media came on, oh, it's CNN, you know, in 24-hour news, the world got smaller. And that's true. But then when social media kicked in over the last 10 years, everything seems to be speeding up. We're constantly looking to the future, to the future, to the future. And that's great, but you also have to look to the past as it fuels you into the future. Okay? We have to look back and remember so that we can move forward the right way. So there's three things that I want to leave you with about remembering today. And I've got them on the screen, so we'll have to flash them up as we go to each point. But the first point that I have, the first thing that I want you to remember is God's faithfulness. It cannot be repeated enough. Remember God's faithfulness. Never forget that your God, my God, is a faithful God. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. God is faithful. This is an attribute. This is a trait of God. This is intrinsically who he is. He cannot be unfaithful. He is faithful. So then, okay, well, what is faithful? Faithful, definition-wise, is strict or thorough in the performance of a duty, or, and I like this as well, reliable, trusted, believed. That is the God we serve. That's his identity. That's his character. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is to be believed. This sounds like our God, doesn't it? The flip side of this, of course, is what? Unfaithfulness. Someone or something that is unfaithful, it's a major breach of trust, is it not? Have you ever had a friend or a family member or a coworker or someone who is unfaithful in their relationship with you? We don't have to worry about God doing that. You may have been so hurt by so many relationships in your life. You may have had unfaithfulness throughout your life. But I'm telling you today, the God that we serve is a faithful God. He will never do that to us. And it's not because I say it, it's because the Word of God says it. This world will be unfaithful to you and I, but our God will never be unfaithful. The world is constantly changing, but our God, thankfully, stays the same. In the Bible, we refer to God as a rock. Why do we refer to God as a rock? Over and over and over again. Because a rock is stable. A rock is sturdy. A rock is able to be leaned on or relied on. You don't have to worry as you lean on a rock that it's going to crumble underneath you, right? You can trust that that rock is going to be there. It's going to be affixed. It's going to be sturdy. And on my last Shabbat, I cannot resist giving you this scripture. This is my favorite scripture in all of the Bible. My favorite two verses. If we could put it up, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. When you lean on people and they're unfaithful to you in your life, it hurts. It's a major breach of trust. When you lean on God, he will never be unfaithful to you. He will always be that rock that is sturdy. You don't have to worry about him crumbling or changing or not being reliable or not being trustworthy to you. He is always there and you can put your trust in him. The question is, do we believe that? We read that, but do we believe that? It's hard sometimes to believe it. Why? Because everybody else in this world, I don't care how good you are, we tend to mess up. And even in the best of intentions, we can hurt others. We can be unfaithful. But God isn't. Okay, God isn't. He is that rock for us. As you continue as a congregation, as you continue as a community, you need to be 100% sure that God is faithful. You need to be without a doubt sure. You need to trust that. Because, you know, Rabbi Jude and now Rabbi Larry, we're the managers here, but there's an owner that's here. And he's the one that is in charge of it all. And you can trust that he is not going to be unfaithful. You can trust because Adonai is the ultimate leader and owner of Karen Or. He is the one that's put in charge. He is the one that's our boss. And our boss, the good news is, our boss is always faithful. That's him calling right now. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I always tell this story and it's just, this is important here. When I was young and I was trying to memorize the Bible and I was trying to think on these things and learn about God, I would take scriptures like this and I would put a little, make a little sticky note and I would put it on my little tack board. And where my tack board was at my house, in my room, was when you first came in my room, I can picture it clear as day, right on the left-hand side, about eye level, was my tack board. I would come in every day and go out every day, and I would see all those verses that I had tacked up there. I will never leave you or forsake you. If you don't believe that God is faithful, write that down. Put that in your car. Put that in the tack board in your room. Put that in your Bible. Put that somewhere where you can see it every day and you can remember the faithfulness of your God and my God. Amen. Second point, God's faithful. And second point you need to remember, we need to remember, is you need to remember your calling. Karen Or, you need to remember your calling. Each of you are followers of Yeshua, right? If you're a follower of Yeshua, each of you are believers and followers after Yeshua. You've been called, okay? You've been responding to that calling. But what I'm saying is each of you has been called here. If you're sitting here, if you become a member here, if you're a regular attender, you've been called to Karen Or, okay? Of course, we're all called to the Lord, right? He is calling us all every day. What I'm talking about is remember, you've been called to Karen Or. You've been called here for a reason, for a purpose. It's not coincidence that you're sitting in here listening to me talk right now. It's not coincidence that you came through those doors and chose to take your precious time to be here on Saturday morning, to listen in on the live stream. God has called you. Each of us can probably look back and say, it's truly the Lord that's called me here. If you were to go back 5, 10, 20, 30 years and think, did you ever think you'd be sitting in a messianic synagogue, right? In late April 2019, listen, I never thought that I'd be standing here talking to you all in April of 2019 and being a rabbi. I never thought that in my life growing up. But God has called me, okay? God has called you. You need to remember that calling. It's easy to forget those things. It's easy when your friends, when your family, when your neighbors are saying, what are you going to that synagogue for? You're not Jewish. You're crazy. Or if you're Jewish, it's easy to listen to the voices that say, Jews don't believe in Jesus. What are you doing there? You need to blah, blah, blah. You need to remember that if the Spirit of the living God has called you here, you are called here. You cannot forget that. You need to remember that. God doesn't call people haphazardly also. Each of you were meant to be here. And I've talked about this a lot, but we all come from different backgrounds. And you may, you know, comparison is a terrible thing. You may come in and say and see the person sitting next to you, well, really, they've got their life together. Maybe I'm not called to do such and such. Don't believe that lie. You are a unique member of the kingdom of God, and he's called you here. And if he's called you here, you have a unique thing to do. Maybe it's to minister to somebody. Maybe it's to serve in the music ministry. You're going to be touching lives here, but you have to understand that you're called here, and each of us has a calling. But you may think, wow, I'm not the best. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the rabbi. I'm not doing this important job. I'm not doing that thing. You need to understand that God has called you for a unique purpose or purposes. You may not fully understand it yet, but you need to be faithful. None of us are the best. None of us are worthy, but we're all called. And let me tell you something else. You're not called because you're great. You're not called because you got your act together. I can tell you from experience, I'm not called because I've got my act together. Because in many ways, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. But God has called me. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many of noble birth. Listen, God doesn't call perfect people. Because first of all, there are no perfect people. But second of all, your life, and I'm going to even say this, your mistakes, your insecurities, all of these things, they are part of your testimony. Okay? Because my shortcomings are a testimony to a living, unchanging God. My changing nature, my making mistakes is a testimony because when I reflect the living God, I'm not reflecting myself as perfect. I'm reflecting Him as perfect, right? There's a difference. We are all unique. We all have responsibilities, things that we're being given of the Lord. And you know what? We all have issues in our life. We have strengths. We have not so strengths, as we call it, weaknesses. But you're all called. Don't let your weaknesses, don't let your insecurities, don't let your shortcomings stop you from walking in the door and being part of this community because you're called here. You're called to be a witness. You're called to be a light. You're called to have a unique testimony that can minister to people. Karen Orr is literally translated as ray of light. Karen Orr is not a building. Karen Orr is not a website. And Karen Orr is not a Facebook account or Instagram. It's a collection of people from the body of Messiah that stand as a witness and a testimony to God in Savannah, Georgia. Okay? That our God is a great God who never changes. We're imperfect people serving a perfect God. We are a testimony, whether you realize it or not, to the Jewish community here. You're a testimony, whether you realize it or not, to the people of Savannah. And you may say to yourself, well, you know, the traditional community doesn't accept us a lot. Let me tell you, the traditional Jewish community is well aware that Karen Orr is here. Okay, and we are here and we respect our brothers and sisters in traditional synagogues, but we also have a message to give. And that is the true ray of light has come into the world 2,000 years ago. He has fulfilled over 300 prophecies in the Tanakh, and his name is Yeshua, and he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, according to the Hebrew scriptures. This is fact. You can't dispute it. Okay, so this is the thing. This is what we're about. And so many stories over the last 5 years of people that know we're here. People, you know, you may not realize it, but people realize that we're here. People are watching. Whether you say a word or not, they're watching your example. They're watching your lifestyle. They're watching the fact that you're a member or an attendee of Karen Orr. So you know what? Wear it as a badge of honor. Wear it and know that you're representing the one who came to take away the sins of the world. You're called here to Karen Orr, to be that testimony. Amen. And that leads me to my last point. You need to remember your mission. Remember your mission. As I said, Karen Orr is not a building. It's people. And what is the mission of the congregation? The mission is, of course, to be a light to the Jewish people of Greater Savannah, to testify to Yeshua, to be a light to the Gentile believers here in the area that God has not done with the Jewish people, and to help with bad theology, to clean up bad theology, and to be a light to the people of Greater Savannah, that there is a God in heaven and His Son Yeshua, who is the light of the world. This is what we're about. This is the mission. The mission is to go out there and share with that world out there, to share those things. When you break it all down, this is really what we're all about. When you all the glitz and all the whatever goes away and all the talking points go away, that's what we stand for. That's what Messianic Judaism is all about. That's what Karen Ora is all about. It really is that simple. That's the simple mission. We've had these icons throughout the 5 years called Love, Grow, Shine, these three little symbols, and that's been our motto. And, you know, that really is love, meaning get to know God, learn to love God, follow Yeshua. Grow, meaning be discipled within the congregation here. But shine, meaning to go out into this community and just be a presence and a witness to our mission, which is to share Yeshua with people. There are many scriptures about being a light, so I'm not going to talk about that because of time. But we are to be a light to a dying world out there. But your mission is also to be a light within the walls here. This is something we need to understand as well. We also need to remember that our mission is to be a light to each other and to build up in love this congregation. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God and Messiah forgave you. This is not me talking. This is the Bible. Listen, the world is full. You want to get your share of bitterness, jealousy, vengeance, strife, hatred? Just walk out the door, turn on the television, all right? Turn on your computer. It's all there, whether it's politics, whether it's this, whether it's that. Sometimes I just feel like I need to tune out for a couple of minutes, Lord, you know. But the Bible says, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? As in Messiah, God forgave you. We were such terrible sinners, and God said, I love you anyway. I've sent my son to die for you. We need to have that same spirit and heart out there, but also in these walls. We're called to build up the congregation of the synagogue here in love. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Messiah, the Torah of Messiah. We're to love each other, love on each other, cultivate a spirit of unity, of peace, of shalom within these walls. A congregation can't stand or be healthy in any way, shape, or form if there's infighting, if there's problems. And look, we're all different people. We all have disagreements. I have disagreements within my household. I have disagreements with myself sometimes. Okay? I'm not saying we got to walk around and, oh, hello, and be all syrupy and super spiritual. Be real, but understand we're to show compassion, empathy, love, forgiveness to other people as we build up the community here. This is what is right in Messiah. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be otherworldly minded. We want to be heavenly minded, right? Kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, building up the synagogue, building up the congregation of love. That means praying for each other, coming to prayer night, encouraging each other. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit because what Rebbetzin Jen and I have always seen, and we're just so thankful for this over the last 5 years, is this is a very loving congregation. This is a congregation full of people that are genuinely happy to be here and are encouraged. When a new person comes in the door, it's almost like, whoa, careful, careful. Everybody's going to jump on them because we're just so loving. We want to bring people in and show them the love of Messiah. And I've always seen that in people in Karen Orr. And honestly, unfortunately, that doesn't happen in all congregations around the world, as you probably know. All right, so our mission is to show the love of Yeshua out there, but also show the love of Yeshua in here. Don't stop doing that. Don't stop being a loving congregation. Don't stop sharing the love of Yeshua even within these walls. But there's another mission that we all have, you all have as congregants, and this is an important one too. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. I mean, this is an interesting scripture here, okay? Because it doesn't mean be yes men and women. Oh, whatever you want. You've all seen congregations where the leader is a cult of personality, haven't you? It's very disturbing, okay? And it happens all too frequently. We need to, obviously, the model is Yeshua, a servant leader. He didn't go around saying, I'm here, everybody, bow down. He was, you know, he was washing people's feet. That's the definition of servant leadership. So what this scripture is really saying is encourage, pray for, build up your leaders. Because you know why? They're here to serve you. So if you give them reasons to grumble, that's a harder job, right? And that would be of no advantage to you. These are very wise words. So what I would submit to you is, Rabbi Larry and Eileen, build them up. Encourage them. They're just people. I can tell you this because I've been in that position for 5 years. They're just people that get discouraged. They're just people that get tired. And you need to be able to also see that they're not perfect. A lot of times we put our leadership on this pedestal and we forget that they're just people. I'm just a person. He's just a person. Build up, encourage. It makes for a healthy congregation. I'm just telling you. It makes for a healthy congregation. Because at the end of the day, they're members and congregants as well. So out of love, submit to them, yes. But, you know, serve them as they serve you as well. And here's the thing. We all want Care and Order to move forward. I want to watch and see you continue to grow and see you continue to develop. I want to see that love continue. I want to see, of course, more numbers of people, but also enriched lives, transformed lives for Yeshua, people to be made whole in so many ways, exercising the fruit of the Spirit. I want to see you move forward. And the way we move forward is to never forget these things. The way you move forward as a congregation is never forget God's faithfulness to you and to Karen Orr. I could tell you stories about the miracles that came about to make this congregation happen. I had never been to Savannah before I moved here, really. I think we passed by one time because it's, you know, 95 is right there. We passed by and had a meal somewhere in one of the suburbs. Never been to Savannah. Didn't really know anybody. But the Lord called us. We responded to the calling. You know what? The Lord's called you. You've responded to the calling. You've responded, but don't forget that it's the faithfulness of God. And don't forget that you've been called here to Karen Orr. And don't forget what your mission is here. Too many times in life, congregations become a country club where it's just fun to go see people. And the word of the Lord gets diluted. Don't make it a country club. Make it a loving, vibrant, Bible-based congregation where Yeshua is glorified. That's what this should all be about. The hand of God, and as I was saying, there's been so many miracles. How we got this facility is a miracle. I'll tell you about it at Onik, or have Rabbi there tell you about it. So how we came about, all the things that happened, it's been a true miracle of God because God has his hand over the congregation. I'm going to leave you with something that the Lord has impressed upon me all 5 years that we have been here. All throughout the time of Karen Orr, the Lord has always whispered to me that this is his congregation. This isn't my congregation. And you know, as a leader, there's a tendency, as it is for bosses at jobs and people that have ministries or do things, to think, oh, well, I did such and such. Don't do that. You could even say it is a congregation. Well, we've built up the congregation. The Lord's congregation, he's using you to accomplish his purposes. This goes back to the last song we sang today, surrendering to God. It's not your life, it's his life. How is he going to use you to further his kingdom? It's a question you have to ask yourself. How is he going to use you to help build the kingdom up here in Savannah through this congregation? Be available. Be ready. He's always whispered to me, this is not your congregation. This is my congregation. Because he is the one that ultimately leads it. So as I leave today, I want to leave you with those things. Please remember those things because it will serve you well when the trouble comes and the waves come and the winds come. Remember his faithfulness. Remember your calling here. Don't forget. And remember your mission. And as I close, I want to do something very special today. I'd like to have my wife come up, Rebbetzin Jennifer, and I'd like to have Rabbi Larry and Rebbetzin Eileen come up. And this is, I said, our final service. And what I'd like to do is really formally install them as senior rabbi and Rebbetzin here. And to do that, the biblical way to do that is, of course, to lay hands, right? So as we lay our hands on them, installing them officially as the leaders here, I want you to also, if you could reach out your hands, because together we are saying that they are going to lead us. They're going to be the under-shepherds for the Lord here, for Adonai. So let me just pray as we lay hands on them. Lord, I lift up Rabbi Larry and Rebbetzin Eileen to you. I ask, Lord God, that you would give them your truth, Lord God, first and foremost. I ask that you would fill them up so that they can impart your love to this congregation and even outside these walls. Lord, I ask that you would just strengthen them. I ask that you would supernaturally, Lord, give them strength, encouragement, long-suffering, patience, Lord God, all the things that they need to do your great work here. So we lift them up to you. We formally install them as the senior rabbi and Rebbetzin here. May they lead the congregation in love and truth, following after Messiah Yeshua. And we pray also for Karen Orr that you would continue to lead this congregation and be the head of this congregation. We praise you and we thank you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh,